Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. This is the last meeting. I'm supposed to give a conclusion. Honestly speaking, I don't know how to conclude this meeting. But actually, there is no conclusion because you have to go on. This is just the beginning, right? After the meetings that we have, the fellowship, then you have to practice it. So in conclusion, I want to say, and let James give us the conclusion. You know James, right? Guess which verse he says. Don't be just hearer of the word, but be doers. That's the conclusion. So now that's the end. Because if we just hear, and we have heard a lot of messages, and you read a Bible, actually we don't need to explain so much, right? But if we can only practice by the Spirit what we have heard, what we have known, well, we would be a very different people, right? So that's the conclusion. You disappointed? Because if we don't do what we heard, then you can have 100 more conferences. Doesn't really matter. That I've seen for many years. In the last 60 years of my life, we've gone through so many so-called trainings and conferences, messages, meetings. And what is the end result? Right. I'm not talking about other people, I'm talking about ourselves, and myself included. What's the use of going through so many trainings and knowledge of the Bible, and at the end, we are, what, the same as before, even sometimes worse. Right. Sometimes worse. So it's not the knowledge. It is not the doctrines and the teachings, but the life. God has given us the eternal life. If you teach a dog to behave like a human being, you can teach the dog for 100 years. It won't be like you. Impossible. Because it only has a dog's life. It can only say bow wow. And that's it. Cannot even say good morning to you or good night. Why? Because it didn't have the human life. Right? We are human beings. And if you only have the human life, and at that, you have a fallen human life, because Satan has injected his sinful nature into you. So after you were born, immediately you became sinful, because you were born in sin. Right? I never heard a child say, "Mama, I'm hungry, give me some milk." No, the child would begin to scream, ah! And the parents, poor parents, they couldn't sleep at night. And then when the child grew, he became a liar. "Did you eat that candy? What happened?" "No, I didn't." Who taught the child to lie? You tell me. Stephen? How come the child lies? This is why in Psalm 51, David says, "I was born in sin. My mother has already conceived me in sin." You like to sin, James? So you must never have sinned, right? You sinned? Who taught you? Your dad? Your mom? Your grandma? Who taught you? It's the nature. We have to realize this. We always thought, oh, Satan is there whispering to you and sin and sin. No. He doesn't need to do that because he already put his sinful nature into your being, in the flesh. This is why in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, the good that I like to do, I had a hard time doing it. I can't do it. But the evil that I knew that I shouldn't be doing, and I don't even want to do it, he says, but I did it. So the Apostle Paul discovered a law. He says it's a law. It's not a written law, but the law of nature. The law of sin and death that dwells in me. So the conclusion that Paul made is that it's not I who want to do it, but sin that dwells in me. You want to get mad and angry and explode? Lose your temper? Do you like to do that? And scream and shout? Do you do that sometimes? No. Oh, wow. You have a wonderful son.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't explode inside his heart, right? You're angry, but you didn't explode. Because that was your character. Some people explode. Some people is angry inside, but they don't show it. But whether you show it or you hid it inside, it's the same. So it's a matter of nature. It's a matter of nature. John is talking about life, the eternal life that we receive from God. That is his nature now, put into your being. And the first thing that was mentioned in Romans chapter 5, when the Holy Spirit comes in, what did he bring into you? Love. The love of God was poured abroad into your heart by the Holy Spirit. What does it implicate and show us? It means that the very nature of God is now, through the Holy Spirit, brought into your heart. This is why Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, concerning the matter of love, you don't need anyone to teach you. If someone is not saved, you taught him, or you try to teach him to love and love and love, it doesn't work. Because the nature of sin is in this person. Right. You want to quarrel? No. But you can't help it. So it is a matter of nature. It's a matter of life. So John talks about the eternal life. You know, for many years, and I've been serving the Lord by his mercy for almost 60 years now. 60 years. That's an awfully long time. I have heard so many messages concerning life. Life this, and life that, and life studies, and life all kinds of talk and teachings about life and about the Spirit. Just teaching, doctrines. And what was the end result? This is the opposite. No life. Right, Catherine, you went through it too, right? we belong to one of the older generations now. It's not a teaching, it's not a doctrine. This is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the ministry of the new covenant is not the letter. 不是字句。 It's a 教导人。 We taught the children to obey your parents. Are they always obeying you? Ah, Sarah, your parents taught you to disobey? So they taught you to obey, right? So did you obey all the time?
Not all the time.
Teaching doesn't work. You can oppress it for some time, but then the more you oppress it, then it'll explode like a volcano. Pressure builds up, and at the end, boom, something comes out. Lava comes out. Pretty hot. So, it is the nature. It is the nature. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, the eternal life was given to us. This is why we're born again. It's called born again. You have to be born again. In your first birth, you were born from your parents, of the flesh, born of the flesh. 圣经说,从肉身生的就是肉身。这个人堕落的生命。 But that's the first birth. But then the Bible says, you have to be born again, the second time. Just to be born the first time is not good enough, which is good already. Or would you prefer to be born of a dog? No. But man is very special, but unfortunately spoiled by Satan. But that was the first birth. Then the Lord told Nicodemus, you have to be born again, the second time. And this time the birth is from above. Born of God, born of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit within us is made alive. So when the Lord's life comes in, this is the eternal life, the life of God. Amen. The life of God. So you have to realize love is the nature of God. Just like sin is the nature of Satan. Right. And what is the opposite of love, Steve? Hate. What happens when you hate? You kill. Look at this world today, full of hate, stirring up. You hate this, you hate that, I hate this, right? They are promoting it even in the United States. Terrible, even in this country. It changed so quickly. Instead of loving one another, they hate one another. They disagree, and if they hate you, they want to eliminate you.
Cancel.
Hmm?
They cancel you.
This is hatred.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. Right? So, but what about us Christians?
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about us here. I'm talking about all of God's people. Don't you love God's people? Where are we fighting against one another? Just for some understanding of the Bible.
Yeah.
And not only we disagree, at the end we end up hating each other. So sad. So sad. Why do we Christians hate one another? Just because you have a different understanding? different interpretation. You disagree with me, and so we argue, and then we fight, and then we separate. You go your way, and I go my way, and I warn people about you, and you warn people about me. How about that? Is that love, Stephen? What is that? Hatred. And the Lord warned us, if you hate your brother, you already killed him in your heart. You may be still smiling, but in your heart you already killed him. So love is really amazing. It's not just love, it is God. God is love. Sin is not just, oh, I do something wrong. No, sin is Satan himself. You have to realize this. It's a matter of nature. And this is why I'm sharing this morning, to let you know it is okay, I have to do this to show my love, and I have to do that to show my love, and I have to tolerate you, and I have to, you know, do all these many things, and that is love. No, it is out of the nature. Many times I thought, why did God love me? Am I lovable? Nehemiah, are you very lovable?
No.
Then how can God love you? Did God choose you and save you because you are so kind, so wonderful, a great person? But before he saved you, he wasn't.
He chose me before the foundation of the earth.
But after the foundation of the world, you became a fallen human being. Sin entered.
But he still loves me.
Why?
Because he wants to recover me.
Because God is love. God is love, right? We were created in his image, so we also have the human love, but our human love is fallen. Even right in the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve and man, he created man very good. On the 6 days, he says, very good. For everything else, he only said, good. But when he made man, he says, very good. But even a very good man, when Satan came in and deceived, a man fell. But you're still good. Are you a bad person? No. So you must have done everything wonderful. Also not. So are you good or bad? Hard to say.
Yes.
You're both good and bad. Right. But your goodness is very limited. You're only good to a certain extent, then boom, you changed so quickly sometimes. We all know this because we are human beings. But now this life of God comes in, praise the Lord. Salvation is not just forgiveness. Salvation is life coming into you. This is the real salvation. This is why in Romans chapter 5 it says, after we were reconciled to God through his death on the cross, much more shall we be saved by his life. What does it mean in our experience, saved by his life? That means this life must grow in us. The more you grow, the more you change, right? Am I right, James? Right. Because the more you grow, the more you understand, the more you see things. right? As a human being, I'm just talking about human being, right? You understand a lot of things. Your capability even grew. Life grows. And this is why I mentioned the other day that when God made the light, it did not say, now let there be light and the whole world is just light. No, there's still darkness. And God says, he called light day and the darkness night. And then in the scriptures says, we were children of the night. But now, after we are born again, we are children of the day. But that doesn't mean that there is no more night in you, right? So, half day and half night. But the Lord is working so that the day will become longer and your night become shorter. Is that your experience? I hope so, right? It would be terrible if 24 hours a day is all night. But for the criminals, it's all night, no day. And they're afraid of the day. But now they're not. They even do it in the day now. In Southern California, right?
Safest city in the country.
Goodness. A group of day children of the night goes into that South Coast mall, which is a very exclusive mall, went there with sacks, everybody with a sack, and just took everything and put everything in the sack and walk out. And the police dare not do anything. Now, the children of the night is practicing during the day. They don't care anymore. They're doing things in the open. Before, they have some shame, right? And many years ago, I only know that the bad guys put on masks. And now everybody puts on masks. When somebody put a mask, you will not recognize them. But we are created in the image of God to express God. Okay? So things are getting worse and worse today. But for us, it should be the opposite. Our day should be longer.
Amen.
And the night should be shorter and shorter. And the only way to do it is not by teaching people, because you cannot teach them. Yeah. But to let this life grow in us, eternal life. So 1 John is not just talking about life, the Gospel of John is talking about life, eternal life. But 1 John is talking about the manifestation of this life. Life is manifested. Yeah. Life is manifested. Love is not just love. Love is everything there. Where is it written, George, that love is just as strong, if not stronger than death? Song of Songs. Who says that? What chapter? At the very end, in chapter 8. There's something that is stronger, or just as strong as death. You know, when death comes, nobody can resist it. You can shout, I don't want to die, and then you died. No one can stop death. But there is something positive that is as strong as death. and there is love. Right. What verse is it? 6 or verse 8? I am not sure. 8 or 6. Oh, pretty high. Can you hear in the very end? Yeah? Oh, okay, they can hear. Yeah, they can hear, yeah. Is it all right?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, okay, that's better. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, it's okay. It's the last meeting now, so. Please read it to us.
Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame.
Amen. Love is very strong. If you have love, you can do anything. You can do anything. But if you don't have it, that means if you're not mature in this eternal life, it's very hard to do things. I remember when I was in school, at the university, many, many years ago. One day, by the Lord's grace and mercy, the Lord filled my heart with the Holy Spirit there. And the first thing I felt was the love for God and the love of God. I was like, I'm floating in the cloud. I wish I could stay there all the time, but it only lasts for about 5 to 10 minutes. But I got a taste of the love of God. And I was ready to give up everything. I was ready to give up everything. And I gave up everything. Nobody told me. Not in one of the rallies where people are stirred up to serve God. But exactly like what Paul wrote, the love of God constrains us. It left you no choice. If it is not the love, well, you can do something for a while and then you quit. This is why so many people and so much divorce today on this earth, because it's earthly love. So many divorces at the end, they don't want to get married anymore, just live together, because they know sooner or later they're going to separate. But it is the love that holds us together. In fact, it grows. And the first commandment is what? You have to love God with part of your heart.
No.
No. With what? With your whole heart. Amen. Whole soul. Whole mind. And whole strength. This is our relationship with God. How are you going to be saved to the uttermost? By this wonderful life expressed through love. The more you love the Lord, the more you're willing to give up everything. If you don't have that love for Him, it's hard to give up. No, it's hard to give up. But with this love, the divine love, the eternal life that is in you, if it is working in you, if it's burning in your heart, it's so easy to give up, to obey. If you love your parents, you obey. If it's just your parents, okay, it's my dad, I have to. Love is not I have to. If you have to, that's not love, okay, you do it. Right? But love doesn't say, I have to. oh, I have to love my brother. That means you don't have love for your brother. Or then you love out of some other kind of love. That's why when I was talking to the saints in Southern California, I said, love is an instinct. It is intrinsic. You love your children?
Yes.
Your grandchildren?
Yes.
Why? Who taught you that? Which university? You went to what school? I like to attend it.
Huh? He has a doctor of love.
Oh, wow. Please teach me how to love. How to love your wife, your children, your grandchildren. Why did you love them? Who taught you? It's instinct. Nobody has to teach you. Right? Nobody. You love your children too? What did you learn from him? Who taught you? No. This is the nature of that life. Even the animals, they love their newborn. When they're feeding their little babies, don't you dare to touch them. They go immediately. They will defend their child, the children. I mean, their babies. Yeah. Even the birds. Otherwise, they lay eggs, and then the little birds come, and mother flew away. And how are they going to survive? It is instinct. It is created by God. Because God is love. Who taught them? Who taught the mother bird? One day, I was telling the saints, I drove out into Talbert, a street, and I saw a mother duck walking, walking in the front. And there were six or seven little ducks following in a row. I wish I could have taken that picture. It was so touching. I said, who taught these little ducklings to follow the mother duck? Who taught them? Which school?
University of Texas.
Not University of Texas, the University of Ducks. It's instinct. The moment the life of Christ comes into us and dwells there, you will automatically love. Paul was a very good example, right? He hated Christians. He persecuted them. He was even responsible for Stephen's death. And he was on fire trying to persecute Christians, bring them into prison, lock them up. It's a lockdown and lock up. It's a lock up. But when he met Christ on the way to Damascus, he changed. Totally changed. What made this man change? It is the life of Christ. If you know Christ in reality, not in doctrine, doctrine will create a lot of hate. Because I disagree with your understanding. You disagree with mine. Right? So what do? When we disagree? Huh? We fight. And if you don't do what I do, then forget it. Get lost. You get lost. But with this wonderful life coming in, did Paul hate the Jews? Tell me. Mo? He hated the Jews. I was once like them, and now I hate them. What did he say in the book of Romans? He would even prefer to be in their shoes, so to speak, so that they may be saved.
I wish I myself were accursed,
accursed for them.
For my brethren.
He still calls them brethren. But we Christians, I don't know, what do you call them? A cult. It's a cult. You're in a cult. Very sad. In our fallen nature, we are worse than a cult. And yet the Lord loves you. I still think I don't deserve His love. Who deserved His love? You? Do we? Any one of us deserve His love? This is why our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, it was because He loves the people that He created according to His image. Why do you think God created man according to His image? Because the destiny of human being is to be children of God. That's why John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says what? Behold, what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like yet fully, because this life still has to be growing and then be manifested. To be pure as He is pure. To be righteous as He is righteous. To walk as He walked. To walk in the light. Right? To walk in His love. This is important. And this is a matter of manifestation. The more this life grows in you automatically, the more love you have. Not only to love one another, but to do whatever God wants you to do, to obey Him. To obey Him. To obey His commandment with love. His commandment is not burdensome. But if you lack that maturity in love, oh no, I have to do that. Once you say, oh no, I have to do that, it's burdensome. It's burdensome.
Too much pressure.
It's burdensome. Okay, I'll do it. And that's it, right? But if you realize and touch this wonderful Christ and gain, this is why we are priests gaining Christ and experiencing Christ every day. Why is the Lord Jesus as a man willing to go through such a suffering and despise the shame and going through the cross? Why? Because of the love of God that is in Him. Without that love, it's impossible for the Lord to do that as a man. The Father was in Him, and He was in the Father. This wonderful relationship with the Father, the relationship of divine love, my goodness. And He was willing to go through all these sufferings. Even though it was very difficult before going to the cross, even His sweat is a sweat of blood. Don't think the Lord didn't have a feeling there. Oh, I'm looking forward to go to the cross. Nobody has that. Not even the Lord. He knew the suffering. And that is why He prayed, Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, let your will be done and not mine. What makes Him to do that? The love for the Father, resulting in the love for you and me. It's not a matter of tolerance. It's not even a matter of, I'll try to love John Yao because he's my son-in-law. Should be my son-in-love. Better than a son-in-law. This is a manifestation of life. This is why when the Lord Jesus Christ came, what did John say? Full of grace and truth. What is grace? It is the love of God supplying you with every need free. Did you ever charge your children for the food?
Louder, please.
Oh, louder. Have you ever charged your children for the food you gave them since birth?
No.
Sharon, how much did you pay your mom and dad? Oh, I mean Sarah, I'm sorry. How much did you pay your mom and dad for food and lodging and education and everything? Free, you mean? Why? Because they love you. They love you because you, your life came from them. You were born into the family. Yeah. This is the intrinsic nature. Nobody can teach people to do that. Nobody can teach them. No. No. Right? You think the government in California love the homeless people and just let them there, give them free food and everything, that's love? Oh no, their purpose is to ruin the country. That's not love. They think it's love. No, it is not. It is hatred. They hate freedom. They hate democracy. They hate this country. They want to rule over this country. That's why they're doing all kinds of things. You think they care for the migrants? Just, well, come, 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 come. Well, how come those who come in legally, they have to apply so hard and so long and many were rejected? But these criminals, they come in, come in. That's love, right? No, it is not. But this is the fallen nature of sin. You know, the Lord called them what? You are the children of the devil. Satan, the devil, is your father. They said, Abraham is our father. The Lord says, no. If Abraham were your father, you would not have sought to kill me, right? They even lied. Oh, you must have a devil. Who wants to kill you? They even lied. Then the Lord says, no, Abraham is not your father. The devil is your father. Because he is a liar from the very beginning. And he is even a murderer, a killer. Why do you think people are killing each other, hating each other? Because they are children of the devil. The nature, the life of the devil through sin entered into them, they can't help it. But now we are the children of God. We have His divine life. This is why the Lord kept John towards the end. Right? We always say we keep the best for the last. Why do you think the Lord kept John the Apostle to be the last of the Gospel, the last part of the Epistles, and then the last, the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation? He is called also the beloved Apostle. Right. So, what was the end? The conclusion of the gospel, the conclusion of the epistles, the conclusion of the whole Bible, it is this wonderful eternal life. Not the doctrines and teachings. No. No. This is why Peter even says, the first thing when you come to read a Bible, the first thing you have to take care of is no scriptures is of any private interpretation. It's the Word of God. Don't try to interpret. Just be obedient to the Word of God, because you will interpret the Word of God away. The Word of God doesn't need your interpretation. And if you need understanding, let the anointing teach you. This is why 1 John, and I appreciate that, chapter 2, verse 20 and 27, right? You have the anointing from the Holy One. Amen. And you have no need of any teachers. If you pay attention to the anointing and dwelling in you, you will know, oh, I shouldn't do this. Immediately, you have, it's instinct. The Lord will say no. And the Lord will say yes, do this. He teaches you all things, and especially John added the word, and is no lie. You think God will lie to you? The Holy Spirit will lie to you? No. If we all pay attention to the indwelling anointing, He will teach you all things. Yeah, and He dwells in you. You can teach somebody, but you're not always with them. Right? Yeah. The professors, teachers at university and school, are they always with you? No, 1 hour after the lecture, you're on your own. But this anointing dwells in you. It's wonderful. Yeah. And I can testify to you that He really teaches you all things. Right. All things. Really amazing, wonderful. And this grace that John was talking about in the gospel is the love. And this truth is the light. The light will open your eyes and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the truth is not just objective truth. The truth is Christ. The Lord says, I am the truth. It's the person. It's the essence. It's not just something that is truthful. It's more than just truthful. Well, you may know the truth, but you don't live it. You know you should love your wife, but you don't, then you quarrel and all those things. You know the truth, but you don't practice it. So it's just like you read the menu, but you don't eat the food. You're satisfied with the menu. You're very, wow, you can memorize the menu. Right? Then you're satisfied. No? You have to eat the food. If you don't eat it, the menu will not help you, okay? Cannot satisfy you, cannot nourish you. And don't try to tear and chew the menu. No, it will kill you. This is why, remember, this is why Paul says the letter kills. The Jews knew the law. And they didn't do the law, their punishment is worse. Their condemnation is worse. Sometimes it's better not to know. But ignorance of the law will not cause your escape. But your beating judgment will be less. This is what the Lord says. A servant who knew the will of God, of the Lord. If you knew the law of the Lord, the will of the Lord, and you didn't do it, but in Luke chapter 12, I think, says, you will get more beatings than a servant who didn't know but didn't do it. That doesn't mean that if you don't know and you didn't do it, you will not get any beatings, okay? But you will get less beatings. Less beatings. But if you know and you don't do it, you'll get more beating. The punishment is more severe. Better you know and do it. Then your reward will be great. Or you prefer beatings. Right. But the best way to do it is out of this divine love. And mind you, it will be the Lord doing it in you, with you, and you through Him. And everything is just wonderful. Instead of you doing it yourself. Right? So if you're walking in the light, it's walking in the light, okay? Not just to see the light, you walk, meaning to say you live your whole life there. You're in the light, your whole living. Not just knowing the truth, but doing it. Like James says, be doers. Right? Then, praise the Lord, you have fellowship with the Father. And then we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship is not just, well, okay, let's sit down and talk about things. What are we going to do? And who is going to prepare the food? Who is going to arrange the chair? Oh, we say, well, let's fellowship about it. No, you don't need to fellowship about it. Just do it. Just volunteer. Okay, I'll do it. No need of that so-called fellowship. We use the word fellowship so loosely. Fellowship is partaking. This is what the real meaning of koinonia in Greek is. The fellowship means to partake. If we fellowship with a cheesecake on the table at the very end of the fellowship, where is the cheesecake? In the belly. In the belly. In you and in me and in everybody. That's fellowship. The fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What happened to the end of the fellowship? You become a partaker of the Father and of His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through the Holy Spirit. This is why it's the fellowship of the body of Christ, the bread. We all have a part of it. So may the Lord open our eyes. It's not the teaching, it's not the knowledge, but it is the partaking. It's the partaking. And if you partake of this wonderful life in you, and it grows in you, you will be what you are. And no wonder people say you are what you eat. So what are you eating? The heavenly food or just fried chicken? I'm glad we don't become chicken. But it's created as food for us, for physical food. Right. And the goal is we'll be transformed into His glorious image. From glory to glory. Then this wonderful life of Christ will be manifested automatically. I don't have to act like a Chinese, do I? Do you know that I'm Chinese? How do you know? He looks at me. Oh, yeah, he's Chinese. Oh, I looked at Aussie. Oh, you're from Nigeria. Right? And I looked at him. You're from?
India.
It's manifested. It's life. But now we are children of God. When people look at you, do they see Christ in you? Do you manifest the glory of God? Right. People should see God in us. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, it's written there, no one has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of the Father, he came and he manifested him. He declares Amen. Him. By his living word, by his life, by his manner, by his love, he manifested this life. Not by his face, human face, not by his looks, but by his whole manner of life, he manifested God, full of grace, full of truth. Right. This is what John is talking about. And this is what our brother also shared, to bring us back to the tree of life. When you're partaking of the tree of life, then this wonderful life of God will be manifested.
Amen. Amen.
Right in the first verse, life is manifested. You can hear it, you can see it, you can even behold, touch it, the word of life. Amen. This is why our speaking and sharing the word of God should not just be a preacher, not just teaching people about the Bible. We have to manifest this life. Life is manifested. Right. Praise the Lord. And I hope that in these days that all of us will enjoy this manifestation of life.
Amen.
Yeah. Then we can be a good soldiers of Christ. You know, at the very end of the Bible, give me 2 more minutes. In Revelation chapter 19. You don't need to open it. You all know Revelation 19. God's people is both the bride, right? The wedding feast is here. The bride has made herself ready. Let us rejoice and be glad. And make sure you don't miss the wedding. Okay? Don't miss the wedding. And then, in a very amazing way, the bride became the army. So, are we the bride or are we the army? You want your bride to be a wrestler and army? But we are a very special thing. We are both, we have many status. Okay, we are children of God. We are servants of God. We are the bride of Christ. We are also the army. We are also a warrior. We have so many statuses, just like you. You're a father. You're also an engineer. You're also a preacher. And you're also a mechanic. I don't know. Ah, you're all around, Mo. You're not just one single, doing one single thing, right? But as well as God's children, right? We have a wonderful father. We have wonderful brothers and sisters, and the Lord Jesus is not only our Lord, he is the firstborn, he is our big brother. We are the many brethren. So he's not only your Lord, he's your big brother. And he is also the captain of the army. That's wonderful. And he is also the bridegroom. And he's leading the army there in Revelation chapter 19. The same thing what Paul says in the book of Ephesians. The church is in chapter 1, and how to build it up. But in chapter 6, it's the army, putting on the armor. But nobody cares for chapter 6. Talking about the body, the body, the body, and at the end, we are nobody. I don't know what body, the nobody. But praise the Lord. But you cannot have an army if they are not mature in life. You don't send your children to fight the battle like the Palestinians. No, you don't do that. Right? You have to be mature in life. This is why Paul says in the middle of Ephesians, be no more children tossed to and fro, but be a mature person. Right? The full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then you can fight the battle. So, well, Paul said the same thing. And this is our vision today. To fight for God's kingdom, God will not send his little children to go fight. No. In Psalm 110, the army of volunteers arrayed in the beauty of holiness, with their life fresh as the morning dew. In Zion, the city of the great king, the church is not just a regular meeting like what we're doing. No. Church is Zion, the city of the great king. And the Lord will send out the rod of his strength out of Zion. This is why at the end of this age, by his mercy, the Lord showed us Zion. Showed us Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12. Beginning in verse 20, you have come to the church. Which church? There's so many, so which? No, it is his church. Don't ask me which is which, but I only know the church is his church. Amen. The Lord says, I will build your church. No, he says, I will build my church. Any other building made by men, the gates of Hades will be happy helping you. Look at the Catholic Church. Who is building that church? They call themselves the church too. Who do you think is helping them building the church? The Lord? Someone else is helping. The bigger the better. When the Lord was on this earth, at the very end, how many people did he gain? In the day of Pentecost there, how many were together praying? It must not be the work of God. It should be 1.2 million. Manifest the glory of God. And how many did he choose to be the foundation? Only 12. So does the number mean anything to you? When the Lord was on this earth, he didn't even have a pillow to lay his head. Right? The two apostles asked him, where do you live, Lord? He says, he didn't even have an address. He said, come and see. Where? No GPS and no address. How about the Son of Man didn't even have a pillow, a place to lay his head. And we are complaining, oh, our meeting hall is too small. It's not a physical house, it's a spiritual house. Amen. And it's a royal priesthood. Right. It's the kingdom of God. The church is a kingdom. Matthew said it very clearly already. I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Amen. Fighting the battle to bind the enemy and to save a lot of people and to build them up to be this wonderful heavenly Jerusalem. What God is building is not earthly, but heavenly. not physical but spiritual. Not just any place, but a holy place. A holy nation. A holy nation. It's not the number. Did not the Lord say, the way is broad. It's called the Broadway. You know Broadway. Don't you have a Broadway here? No, but in New York, right? New York. Everybody loves the Broadway. It's a show. The Broadway. But the Lord's way is a narrow way. And the Lord says, and many will find it. Hmm? Come on. Many. But you want to see many. That's why you're trying to get everybody to come, right? How about you? I know that's what you want. How come we're still so few? Did the disciples argue with the Lord? At the end, only 12 were left. And the Lord says, what are you doing here? Why didn't you also leave? You think a lot of people want to walk in the way of the truth? We don't have anything here, do we? You have a nice quiet? What do we have here? I don't know what we have here. We just want the Lord Jesus Christ. But he came into the world, and the world was created by him. But the world knew him not. Then he came to his own, and his own received him not. Yeah. So we have to realize, don't worry about anything else, but let this life grow in you. Right? It is a matter of life, the eternal life. So, may the Lord have mercy on all of us. Amen. And may the Lord bless whatever he's doing here in Toronto. Amen. And broaden your heart. We are for all of God's people. Amen. The Lord knows. He asked my wife, we pray for all of God's people. Just like Daniel in chapter 9. Daniel did not say, we are right, the others are wrong. No, forget about that. Daniel even confessed the sins of the ancestors and the sins of their fathers and the sin of the whole people there. That's why they were in Babylon. Right. But his heart is for Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the place of God's choice. So enlarge your heart. In spite of everything, they are still God's children and God's people. Everyone has to be responsible before the Father. Right? I cannot be responsible for you before the judgment seats of Christ, right? I cannot talk about the others. I have to be giving an account of my own life to the Lord. And I cannot say, it's because of John Yao that I didn't make it. The Lord will say, what is John Yao to you? You follow me. Did not Peter say that and ask the Lord about the beloved apostle? Lord, what's going to happen to him? The Lord says, it's none of your business. Putting it in today's term, he says, what is it to you? What if I want him to live forever? What is it to you? You follow me. That's good enough. Don't worry about too many people. Let the Lord worry about it. Everyone has his choice. If I were God, and good thing I'm not, I would not even put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there in the Garden of Eden, would you? And I would build a big wall so that no creep will come in. Wouldn't you do that? But the Lord didn't do that. It's man's choice. And it is God's choice. Remember what the Lord says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. You might draw the wrong guy because you don't know. Because you don't know. Right. So let the Lord do the job. He knows. He knows. The Lord was never worried. The Lord was never worried because he left everything to the Father. So, praise the Lord. Thank you for inviting us. And you're also invited to come to California. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen.